All right. Well, today we're continuing in our series called Connected, and we're talking about how in our lives, all of us live such busy lives, and in our busy lives, it's easy to forget our need for connection, how we're made for connection. In fact, we were made to be connected to God, we're made to be connected to one another, and we're made to be connected to the world, to reach out our hand to make a difference in the world. These three vital connections. And what we've been talking about, in order to do that, you see a bunch of Legos on the stage. If you've been wondering, why are there Legos in church? We like to have fun here at the Fountain, but also it's a good illustration for what it means to be connected. Legos, like a Lego by itself is, you know, kind of worthless and meaningless. But when it gets connected to other Legos, to other things, all of a sudden it starts to have value and meaning. And so it is with your life. Is that when you get connected to other people, when you get connected to God and to the world, all of a sudden it adds meaning and value to our life. And at the same time, you know this, is that what you connect your lives to shapes who you become. Just as an illustration of this, just think back to your middle school days, those friends that you started to make. Think back to your college days, those friends that you connected with. Who you connect your lives with oftentimes shapes who you become. And you can say that about the Lord too, right? As you look at your life, you know, either your connection to God or maybe times when you felt disconnected, how that shapes who you become. Connections matter. And so each week what we've been doing is we've been building our lives. As we talk about building our lives, we've been talking about how we can do that over these three vital connections: God, others, and the world. And we've been doing it with Lego blocks, so if you love Legos, you're going to love this. But we started out in week one by talking about the foundation, how it's so important. In fact, here's what we said week one about the foundation, is that if you build on any other foundation than Jesus, everything else you build in your life won't stand. If you build on any other foundation, you know, whether it's a relationship or your financial security, whatever it is, you know, if we try to build on any other foundation than Jesus, everything else you build in your life won't stand. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "I am the vine," Jesus says. "You are the branches." Our connection to him matters. And so what we've been doing as we started out with week one by talking about the foundation, that God plus me and my connection to God is really what this whole thing is about. In order to have the life abundantly that God wants, it starts with the right foundation, because nothing else in this world can carry the weight of your life. But the thing is, when God is connected to you and you're connected to God, all of a sudden God can bring life, because he's divine, to every single area. So last week we talked about serving, and we talked about what happens when we serve. Because when we serve, you maybe have heard messages on serving. It's bigger than just a nice thing to do. One of the things that we found is that with your connection to God, with your connection with God, all of a sudden you're enabled by God to serve in greater ways. And you get connected also to one another, to a team called the body of Christ, where through our connection and our work together, you bring your gifts, I bring my gifts, and we all bring them together, and God does something even bigger than what we could do to impact the world. And so today, what I want to talk with you about is something just as important, and a very important connection, and that is our need for community. You know, here's the thing, when it comes to community, what we're really talking about is how it's so important that we live life connected with one another. And today I want to encourage you, I want to invite you, I want to help to build a case of why in our lives it's so important. This is not just an add-on to our lives, but how we have to make decisions to choose community. And as we think about that, the thing that I was thinking about is, you know, none of us were made to do life alone. None of us were made to do life alone. We say this all the time at the Fountain: you can't do life alone. Well, technically you can try, but it's not good for you, right? You can't do life alone, really, in an abundant way. And the thing that we found is a thing I found in my life is that none of us have the bandwidth to carry the weight of our life alone. I mean, this goes back to this whole illustration. If I'm trying to carry the weight of my life without you, without others, and without the Lord, we don't have the bandwidth to do that. We're made to be connected. But the problem is, so many times we don't realize our need for community, our need for connection, until in those times when we need it the most. Just a little silly example from my week, kind of how things have been going. Let me ask you this. How many of you know that tomorrow something amazing is about to happen in history? How many of you know that? Yeah, that's awesome. Hey, well, thank you guys for remembering my birthday tomorrow. I appreciate you guys. You know, y'all are awesome. Now, in all seriousness, it is my birthday, but in all seriousness, God is bringing me a cool birthday present. You know, there is this crazy thing on August 21st known as the solar eclipse. I guess we've heard of that, right? It's been all over the news and all over everything, and it's supposedly it's really rare, so it's something like you don't want to miss. But if you've been reading Facebook and social media like I have, you know, it's like, it's going to be the coolest thing you've ever seen. You don't want to miss it. It's once in a lifetime, and then you might die. You know, it's one of two things. And so I've been reading this stuff, like, what do I do? You know, like do I want to see it, you know, or do I want to die? You know, I don't know which one, you know. And I've just kind of been passing this off as just another one of those, like, you know, social media crazy rants, you know, where people, it's almost like Y2K, you know, go buy bread and milk and hide your kids, hide your wife, you know, all this stuff, you know. It kind of feels like, you know, the solar eclipse, 2017. But the thing is, I've been kind of dismissing it, like, no big deal. It's just like Y2K, I guess, you know, where nothing happens. And, well, you know, it's one of those things where I kind of felt like it's like, you know, everybody's talking about it's going to burn your eyes out. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know. And so it kind of made me feel like, you know, have you ever seen A Christmas Story before? You ever seen that those scenes with Ralphie? You remember Ralphie? Here's Ralphie. He was constantly told by Santa and everybody that if he gets a BB gun, you'll shoot your eye out, you'll shoot your eye out. And this is what it's felt like reading social media. I don't know if I'm the only one, but I'm like, man, like, it might be cool, but I might die, right? And so I was just kind of like, you know what? I'm not going to worry about it. I've been playing baseball my whole life, and I've looked at the sun before, no big deal. And so, you know, if I was doing life alone, I was just going to go outside and try to stare at the sun and, you know, prayers for me, right? Because I might not see you the next time I see you, right? But the thing is, because thankfully, because of my wife and a community of people that are connected to us, I now have, you know, these really cool solar eclipse shades that now I can go out and I can have my viewing party tomorrow in safety, right? And it's one of those, I can't even see you guys. These are pitch black. If you bought the bootleg kind on Amazon and you see through them, that's not good. So just so you know that. But because of my connections and because of community, now I don't have to suffer for retina damage forever. You know, it's just a funny illustration that you can't do life alone. You can try, but it's not good for you. You can't do life alone. You know, from the beginning of time, from the very beginning, before even creation happened, we get this picture all the way back in Genesis of how we're wired for connection, like the importance of community, like we need each other. And we get this picture in Genesis of how we're made to connect with God and with others. In fact, before God created the world and everything in it, in Genesis 1 and 2, we see this picture of even God. This is crazy. Even God is in community with God's self. You might not have thought of that before, but you maybe have heard of the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, a three-in-one God. God, before anything was created, God existed. And it's like, well, when was God born? Well, God always existed, right? And it's one of those things where the very nature of God, in the very beginning of time, we see the Father right before anything's even created. We see God the Son, Jesus. In John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, or Jesus, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. So there was the Father, there's the Son. And it also says in Genesis that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So the very nature of God is that God is in communion with God's self. But at the same time, even though God is in communion with God's self, God created things in order to share, in order to connect, in order to demonstrate his love beyond himself. This desire of God wanting to connect to something even more than himself. And so out of that, God created. And the Bible tells a story of how God created everything, and it's pretty amazing. God created, you know, day and night, put the sun and the moon and the stars and all the planets and everything into orbit. And so now tomorrow, when you're trying to stare up at the sun, hopefully with some non-bootleg glasses, you know, you can just look up there and realize, wow, God, you created all this because you wanted to connect to something bigger than you. You wanted to connect even with us. And after God did all that, God created, you know, land and vegetation. He created, you know, the waves in the ocean. So cool. Every mountain, every valley, everything that you see. God created plants. God created animals, from the craziest, most ferocious lion to those dogs and cats at your house, to the smallest, most annoying little mosquito. I don't know why God created that, but God created everything, right? And it's so perfectly fashioned, right? Everything. And so God creates everything, and at the very end of all of creation, the fish and the birds and everything's been created, God gets the last day of creation, and he saves the best for last. When God created us, humankind, in his own image. And it's one of those things where every single day, as God's created something, at the end of each day, God says something interesting. He looks back each day and he says, ah, it's so good. This is good. This is good. This is good. When God created you, he said, this is good. In fact, it's one of those things where I recognize, you watch the news, it's really easy to realize today that we live in a broken world. And it's sometimes as we're seeing things go on in our lives and around the world, it's easy to look at things and to realize there is so much evil that's out there. In fact, sometimes it feels like, you know, evil is just overshadowing the goodness that God created. It's like, what in the world? Where is that fragment that God created that's where he said, this is so good? But in the beginning, before the fall, everything was so good. God looked at the world and he said, it's good, it's good, it's good, except for one thing. And the first thing in all the Bible that God says isn't good, you might guess if we were on a game show, sin or something like that. But God says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, here's the very first thing God says isn't good. Here's what it says. The Lord God said, it is not good for the man or for humanity to be alone. It's not good for us to be alone. This is the way God has wired us. And so it's interesting because we're made to be together. It's this connectedness of who God has designed us to be connected to God first, and then also to be connected to one another as we serve and as we do life together, this interconnectedness. And so it's one of those things where the Bible also says that we're made in God's image. Think about this. We're made in God's image, and that means that every, you and me, and every person all over the world is made in the image of God. That means that when we look at each other and we start saying, well, I'm better than you, or I've got this going on in my life and I think I must be better, man, we're made in the image of God. Like, none of us are better than each other. Like, we're made in God's image. And it's one of those things where, as we're made in God's image, it means that every single person carries with them this image of our Creator God. As we're walking around, there's fingerprints and the thumbprints of the living God in our lives who is within each person. And God said when he created us, check this out, community. He said, let us, not let me, but let us, Trinity, let us make mankind in our image. This is God saying, we're in community already. Let's make humans and invite them into community with us, and let's invite humanity into communion with one another. We're made to be connected. We're made for each other. You know, sometimes, you know, we hear a talk on community, and it's one of those things where we think, well, yeah, that's a nice thing. That's good to be connected to people, you know, whatever. But it's not one of these things where we just, you know, it's just better if we do life together. It's just better in our life if we have community. It's actually, you see from the beginning that it's actually woven into who we are. Like, we're made for each other. We need each other. That's why in our lives, so many times when we get disconnected from community, and I have to tell you, the number one thing that is easy to say, I don't need this connection, is our need for community. Because when things are spinning out of control, you know, it's like, I don't need one more thing on my plate. I don't need all this going on. I'm around people all day. I don't need more people in my life, right? It's easy to say, I don't need you. I don't need you. But the thing is, this is who we are. And when we get disconnected from community, our lives, this is why we start to feel off. This is why we look around and we start to feel incomplete, longing for something. It's one of those things where when we try to walk around doing life alone, we walk around so many times with a tainted view of reality. Our highs start to be overinflated. Like, this is the best day ever, which that's okay. But at the same time, our lows tend to become even lower when we're doing life alone. And so the thing is it's all because we're running against the way that we were made. It's no wonder we're tapped out and stressed out because we're disconnected from the way God wired us. We're made for each other. We need community. We're made in the image of God, and to bear that image by really being in community with one another. You know, the truth is God wired us, he made us to be, to have real, genuine community. A community that's alive, a community that's alive through the church because it's rooted in Jesus, right? And so the thing is we're made to experience real community where we're supported and loved, where we're encouraged in our life, where we're even challenged sometimes to grow and to become the people God wants us to be. This is what community does. God made us for a community where we truly love one another, where that love is so contagious that people just want more of it. You know, this is who God has wired us to be. This is this connection with God and others. So I was thinking about this message this week, and it reminded me of the song. How many of you are Rascal Flatts fans? Anybody a Rascal Flatts fan? If it's kind of like a sin or something to like country music, it's okay. You can raise your hand, right? But the thing is, Rascal Flatts sang this song back in the olden days, right? Called Mayberry. It's not that old. But the song Mayberry. I was thinking about this song when it comes to this message. Because the very first line, it starts this scene where the band Rascal Flatts is talking about how, you know, this world is spinning faster than it used to back in the olden days, back in the good old days, right? And it talks about this chorus of how great things were, how great things happened on the front porch. Anybody have a front porch growing up? Anybody do that? Yeah, some of y'all did. That's awesome. So here's the thing. On the front porch, it talks about, some of you are embarrassed to raise your hand. That's okay. With this group participation, this is a safe environment, right? You know? Anyway, we won't tell your friends. But anyway, here's what the chorus says about the front porch. It says, I miss Mayberry, sitting on the porch, drinking ice cold cherry Coke, where everything is black and white. Everything is just easy, right? Picking on a sixth string. People pass by and they call you by your first name, watching the clouds roll by. And this is kind of like, ah, man, how relaxing, how great is that? And I was thinking, you know, years ago in America, the front porch was one of the most important spaces and places in our lives. It was one of the most important spaces in our homes, the front porch. In fact, on the front porch, it was the place where real community was developed. The front porch was a place where you could sit outside and it was fun and it was normal for people to just pass by and, you know, casually interact with each other. Now when somebody, you know, rings the doorbell, we're like, get down, you know, nobody move, you know. You know, and then there's always that person that comes down the stairs and they don't get the memo and you're like, hush, you know, I think they saw us, right? But the thing is, back in the olden days, you know, not the olden days, just not that long ago, you know, people would just stop by the front porch and talk, and there was this community. The front porch was this place where it was this bridge between public space and private space. And so now, you know, our houses are built to the things that we think we desire most. Our houses today are not built with front porches. They're built for this desire that we think we have for privacy and seclusion. We want to get away from people, right? They're made for privacy and seclusion instead of for connection. And so now, after a long, hard day, many of us, you know, we drive home from work or home from whatever we're doing for the day, and we retreat to our homes. And we the garage door opens, we pull in, we wave at people, or we put our head down as we pass them, and then the garage door closes. And for many of us, community is shut off. You know, we retreat and look to escape. Not outside to the front porch like it used to be, right? But where community used to happen. But instead, we retreat many times alone to be in front of the TV in our living room. And I'm not making fun of that. I mean, it's not necessarily bad. It was just different, right? And so it's one of those things where today, if we go outside, just think about this. I would imagine that most of you, if you go outside at your house, it's usually out your back door. To be on your back deck or in the privacy of your own backyard. This is kind of the way we're wired now. And so the reality is, you know, most of us spend all day with people, right? Whether it's, you know, there's kids saying, mommy, 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 or whether around, you know, coworkers saying, you know, whatever your name is over and over and over and over, and over again, right? And so we're around people all day, and truth be told, honestly, we don't want to see more people. Like, you know, it's one of those things where we want to get away from people. We've been dealing with those people all day. And so, you know, we often avoid unplanned interruptions by hiding and by going into seclusion, cutting ourselves off from community. Andy Stanley once said about this idea, he said that our goal is to avoid people at all costs, and costs us it does. In fact, you may remember George Gallup. George Gallup was known for the Gallup polls. He was known for, passed away in 1984. He was known for polling communities and getting a good idea of where are people and what do they really think. George Gallup was once talking about Americans, and he realized through surveys, here's what he said. He said, Americans are among the loneliest people in the world. And this just blows my mind. Because it's crazy, because being around each other is not the issue to community, is it? Because that's not mostly what we wrestle with, being around people, right? What most of us, you know, we live and we work in a sea of humanity all the time. You know, we go everywhere and there's people around us, especially in this area. In fact, many of us live in neighborhoods that are called communities, right? They're called communities, and there's community centers, and there's community events. And so community is all around us. But so many of us are wrestling, so many of us are feeling disconnected, a lack of community, feeling isolated and maybe alone. And so it's one of those things where it just shows, like, here's the bottom line about what community is really about. Here's why. It's this. It's because community is not about your proximity to people. It's about your investment in people. Let me say that again. Community is not about your proximity, your closeness to people. It's about your investment in people. I mean, you know this. We can be around people all the time and still not have community. It's about committing to invest our lives in the lives of others, and through that community, especially if it's rooted in Jesus, we find real community. And so what we need in our lives is to rediscover a new front porch. Like, how can we have a front porch, if you will, in our lives where community can happen in that kind of way? You know, when I read about the early church in the Bible, we get this picture of really how God, the kind of community that God created us for. Like, the community of the early church was known for the way, for being this contagious community where people belonged and they felt connected and supported and encouraged. People felt alive. And the thing we see with the early church is that everybody, this happened all the time. One of the things we see with the early church is they were always having meals together. Have you ever read through the book of Acts? They're having meals together all the time. Even in Jesus' day, they were having meals with Jesus. We're going to take communion in a little bit. He had a meal with his disciples. And it's one of those things, Jesus' first miracle happened at a wedding. At a wedding reception, you know, there's food going on in Cana of Galilee. And it's no wonder that, you know, Jesus' disciples, they probably learned it from Jesus, what it means to be community. They often did community around the table. And so what happened here, Jesus was constantly accused of eating with tax collectors and sinners around the table. And so they kind of learned this from Jesus. People were always connecting around food and fellowship and doing life together. It's what it meant to be a follower of Jesus. And so we see this picture in the book of Acts after Jesus raises from the grave, goes into heaven. In the book of Acts, we see this picture of the kind of community that people experienced. It was a community that really God created us for. Here's what it says, Acts 2, 42 through 47. It says this. It says they devoted themselves, not just like lightly signed up for something. They devoted themselves, they committed themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So these four things, they committed themselves. This is what the early church did. You know, they didn't have worship services that people went to. They met in homes and they devoted themselves. They committed themselves to each other, to learning the word of God, to fellowshipping, connecting with one another, to sharing meals together, and even to praying for one another. This is what they did. Here's what it says, verse 43. It says, everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Wouldn't that be cool? It says, they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread. Where does it say? in their homes. They broke bread together in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And here was the result. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the community they experienced. They committed their lives. They devoted themselves to connecting to one another, to not just be in proximity and around each other, but to really invest in one another. And it was so contagious and powerful. You know, they met in their homes and they ate together and they with glad and sincere hearts. And it also, they kind of did it at the table. Where at the table, many became one. And at the same time, there's a lot we could say about this passage. We could talk about how crazy they sold all their stuff. That's radical. They sold all their stuff in order to, when there was a need in the community, when there was a need in somebody's life, they sold something and they're like, here, let's meet this need as a community. That's radical. We could talk about that, but at the same time, the more importantly, what community looked like is they devoted themselves to those four things, to the apostles' teaching, to studying the Word of God. They devoted themselves to fellowship, to hanging out together, doing life together. They prayed together and they ate together. This is what it meant to be a community. And it's interesting because the church of Jesus Christ, it grew like wildfire in the book of Acts. Not because they had the best music on the block. And it wasn't because they hired the best preacher they could possibly find, right? I mean, the picture of the early church is, what was so attractive was the community. In fact, we always said when we started the Fountain, you know, my dream is for us to become such a community that is so attractive, not because we're handing out hamburgers and playing cornhole, right? But it's so attractive because of the way even people who aren't even in Jesus yet, when they come in the doors, when they're around our people, when they see the way we love one another, and people start to sniff that out and say, this is different from the way I've experienced it before. And it's not because of how great we are or anything like that, but I just have this dream of being a community that's so contagious because Jesus is in the community, because we're devoting ourselves to one another, and everybody is just like, man, can I be a part of this? Can I experience this too? And it's not the Fountain. It's the Lord in our community. And so it's all because in the early church, they devoted themselves to each other. They supported and they loved each other. It was contagious. And because of that, like, people couldn't help but say, can I just please be involved in this? The Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved because of the community, because God was present and alive in the community. You know, when I was in seminary, I've told several of you this before. When I was in seminary, I was a part of this small group that radically changed my view of what community is. Now, I grew up in a community, and we went to community centers and community pools, and all that's good. But man, when I experienced this small group that met in our home, it completely changed what community looked like. In fact, it's one of those things where we would meet together. I don't even remember what night it was. We were busy seminary students. We were crazy busy, like not only like doing a real job, but also doing like full-time school. It was busy. And we had no money, you know? In fact, we had all these Target gift cards. We had just gotten married, me and Mandy, and we had all these Target gift cards, and so we bought this flat screen TV, and we were like the only one back in 2010 who had a flat screen TV, right? And so here's all these people doing life together, but we invited people over to our home, and we didn't have hardly anything. We had all the excuses of why, like, not to do this. We didn't have money to pay for anybody or for anything or to even share, you know, that with anybody. But we invited people over, and we would share a meal together. We would gather, and we'd hang out together. We would talk about what God's doing in our lives. We would read some scripture together, and we would also pray together. And I don't mean like the group time is almost done. Let's hurry this prayer up and get out of here kind of prayer. It was like, man, this was like the focus of what we did. Like, we cared so much about what was going on in his life and in her life that as we shared it, it was like, brother, we got to pray for this. Like, let's pray for you. And let's, like, plead to God that God will help you with this test that's coming up. Or God will help you with this thing. You know, we prayed for each other. And it was so contagious. And it's one of those things where here we are 8 years later. I guess 8 years later, whatever the math is on that. But, you know, when something was going on in our lives, you know, when something we have in our lives to celebrate, you know, those are the same people we end up calling. Like, we call upon those same people, and they call upon us. And so, you know, we get all these celebrations of, hey, this is going on. And we're like, yeah, way to go. And we'll talk about it. Another thing that happened, though, I got this. We also get the other stuff. Just the other day, we got a text from somebody who was in that group, and the text was not a text you ever want to read. It was a text that said, I don't have the strength to tell you this in person, so I'm going to tell you through text. We were expecting a baby. We were about to announce to everybody, and we went to the doctor, and we found out the baby didn't make it. And we're like, whew, you know? And it's just like, you know, my heart started hurting for this couple, right? Because it wasn't just somebody. It was somebody we did life with, somebody we love so much. And it was just in those time, like miles and miles away, here we were praying for each other once again, doing life together. This is a picture of what community is. See, all of us in our life, we need people in our lives who can celebrate with us when the greatest things happen, who can grind with us when we have the same pressing thing that we've been praying for 5 years, and even people who can cry and mourn with us when we're in need. The thing is, this is the type of community that God made you for, like a community where we truly devote ourselves to one another. You know, a community that celebrates each other and grieves with each other. Like a community that prays for each other and grows with each other. A community, talk about doing life together. A community that, you know, raises kids together. A community that tries to figure out, like, how do we support our aging parents together? This is doing life together. A community that, you know, is committed to investing in one another and sharing life together. And is it easy? Absolutely not. But is it worth it? Every time. Because the thing is, none of this stuff happens by accident. This is how God wired us to be, but it doesn't happen by accident. You know, we need to be here together and worship. You know, this is a great thing. And there's some community that happens, but real fellowship and real community doesn't really happen on Sunday mornings. And it's not a knock on Sundays. It's not made for that. In fact, it happens in groups and it happens in circles. It happens when we're doing life, committing and devoting ourselves to one another. Here's the bottom line again. Here's what I want to invite you to be part of. It's this. Community is not about your proximity to people. It's about your investment in people. I want to invite you. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you, not because we want you to get connected, you know. It's because you're wired for this. I want to encourage you to choose community, to make that investment, to commit your lives to a group of people. And so one of the best ways you can do that here is we offer refresh groups, a really simple weekly opportunity to get plugged in, to do life together, to pray for each other. Acts 2:42 is exactly what groups do. Like, they devote themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. There's usually some food, praise God, and to prayer, right? And so here's the thing. I realize that everybody's busy. Like, I was in a season of my life when I experienced a group for the first time, really. I was in a season where I did not need anything else on my plate at all. Like, we were maxed out. And there's a lot of reasons for us not to choose community and to just say, I don't really need that. I got other things going on. Because sometimes it seems like too big of a sacrifice. But the thing is, we've got these packed schedules and people are traveling for work, and I recognize that. And you might think, look, I don't need to add something else to my life or to my schedule. I don't need to put more pressure on my family. That's a real thing. And we oftentimes see community as just one more add-on, you know, one more add-on to our life. But in reality, what I've found in my life is that you know, it's one of those things where when you invest in community, when you invest in a group, God has wired you where you will experience a rest, you'll experience a renewal, you'll experience a supported connection with people that will bring life to every single area. So I want to invite you, I want to encourage you to get plugged into a group. We'd love to help you to do that, but to choose community.